Well, we're once again dealing with the amazing creation of man, and it's all a God thing. But we see the parts, the body, soul, and spirit. And today, you want to talk a little bit about the human spirit, because when we're talking about healing, it's nice that we would get our body healed, but if ultimately our soul, our spirit aren't in line, eventually that will have a bearing on our body. It's just how it works. It seems like symptomatically that this thing comes full circle. And so I see your heart, Anna Marie, as one where you want people to have complete healing so that when they walk away from it, they go, "I really learned, I really grew." And I appreciate, even as we were talking before we started the podcast, that you do not want to teach things until you've experienced it. It isn't just theory out there. It's nice theology, and as a pastor, it's very easy. And working through different texts expositorily, there's going to be times I come across a story or a truth that I haven't experienced, and I'll go to a commentary or I'll use somebody's else's material. But ultimately, the things that I get most passionate about is what I have experienced. And so that makes a lot of sense. So today we're talking about the human spirit. So take us there. What about the human spirit?
Well, again, we go to Genesis 1, and when God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit had this conversation and said, let's create man in our image, in our likeness. Being created in the image of God means that we are a spiritual being first and foremost. And so, and very clearly, it says, in Genesis 1:2, the Spirit of God was hovering over the earth. And how did it go from void and darkness to this beautiful universe that we have? Was through the Spirit of God. So it says it was hovering over the earth. How did man get life? God formed man from the dust of the ground, and then he breathed into him his breath, and man became living. A living being. So the Spirit of God. So how do we define the Spirit of God? Well, the Spirit of God is, we can define it as the breath of God. And Scripture defines it as wind and defines it as water. And so is it easy for us to grasp this? No, because we still work with the five senses. If I don't see it, taste it, feel it, touch it, I don't know. I don't know. I don't want to know about it. Well, the thing is, we're dealing with this amazing Father that we have. And so we at some point we have to actually move relationally from being from he's being our creator, which he is, and everything began from him, through him, and nothing was created that wasn't created by the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to he's my Father. We have to make that relational, intimate jump. And for some of us who have not had a good earthly father, that is so critical that we make this relational, intimate jump into, he's my dad. He's my dad. He's my daddy. He's the daddy that I never knew. He wasn't there, whether he died or he left the house or he was emotionally absent, spiritually void of any wisdom from God, did not train. Whatever the situation, and we all have a situation with our parents, especially our fathers, that we have to see that we were born from God our Father. He wanted us born. He wanted specifically Mark Myers born, specifically for a specific purpose. And that purpose was for him to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And he'd do that through by his spirit and with, the word that he speaks, the word that you speak every Sunday and every week to all the people that you see. So it's so we I have to see myself that I am an eternal spirit first and foremost. So you know what color my nail polish is? Who cares? It has nothing to do with it. Do I like pistachios or do I like, yeah, just eat whatever you want, Anna Marie, except, just be healthy. Just do the right thing. Don't do whatever you want if it's going to hurt you. I mean, this is what God wants us to do. But it's not just the outside. It's not just what we look like or the body. And it's not even just our intellect. And boy, how much money do we spend to get our intellect all trained? You know, how much does college cost today? You know, hundreds of thousands of dollars. I don't even know. So it's not even in our intellect. It's not how much I know about what the books say, but it's about how I know Him. And so we are a spirit being. God is spirit, right?
Yeah.
And John 4, I think it is verse 24, it 23 and 24 says, God is a spirit. I'm a spirit. I need to know that.
Yeah.
Well, if I don't care to know that, if I go, you know what, I'd rather play bocce ball, you know. I don't want to think about it. What good is that for me to know that I'm a spirit? Well, a lot. So because life is in the spirit. So my life, my strength, my well-being, my emotional health, my mental health, my physical health comes from the spirit. Mm. From my spirit. So, very important.
Right.
Then, of course, our mind is very important, because the thing, the mind wants to, you know, is the intellect and wants to think what it wants to think. But the Spirit of God also wants to tell us all the intimate ways of God. So our spirit is to be a servant to our mind. But you see, we live the other way around.
Yeah.
Our mind, we put our mind in charge. Some of us just put our body in charge.
Right.
Okay, what's for dinner? When are we eating? Just ate. And when are we eating next? And where are we going to dinner tonight? It's like, you see, we're focused on the body. And some of us are focused on the intellect. You know, I'm into this. I'm into computers. I got to learn all the guts of how the computer works. But we need to know how the Spirit functions in us. And we need to get intimate with a God who is Spirit, whom we can't touch. We can't hug. We can't even scream at Him and say, what are you doing? Why can't you help me right now? We don't know how to relate intimately with a God that is Spirit.
Mm.
And so we need to look at scriptures and say that truly He is spirit, and I also am spirit, made in the image and likeness of God. And in knowing Him, I know who I am. And so God tells us at least three things concerning the human spirit. That the human spirit is eternal. This is the part of us that never dies. We are eternal as God is eternal. We were created in the heart of God, the thoughts of God. And then when God spoke, we manifested. And we were born in the flesh. And so was Jesus, same way. He came from God. And then at the right time, when God wanted to Israel to get a very clear picture of who He was like, He came in the flesh in a baby that grew and lived and showed us how to live. So not only showed us how to live as an example, but also came to live in us so that we are not orphaned.
Mm.
So in our human spirit, okay, lives the Spirit of God. Father, God, and Holy Spirit lives in our human spirit. Well, we may not know that. Or we may have heard it, a pastor teach it to us somewhere, that, oh, you know, you have the Spirit of God in you. We go, oh, yeah. Yeah, okay, yeah, I do. Then we go play and we forget. Or we go live by our body, or we live by our intellect, not ignoring the Spirit. And the Spirit is very easily to be ignored, because the Spirit is very calm, very quiet. The mind, on the other hand, is 100 miles an hour, multitasking, you know, thinking 300 I don't know, thoughts a second. I don't even remember what all the statistics are. And then our emotions. Well, you put our emotions in the mix. Our emotions are all over. I feel anger. I feel sad. I feel I want to give up. I feel like I want to fight. I feel I have all this going on in me. And so the Spirit, which is where God dwells, and God is always speaking, right? Otherwise, we wouldn't have such a big book, and a lot of books were left out. Mm-hmm. But God, obviously, is always speaking, always. So if I am not hearing, it's because my mind, my emotions, and my body, and my activities, and my calendar's full, and my events, I'm so full that I'm not quiet enough to hear the gentle voice of the Holy Spirit who is inside my spirit. So my spirit is trying to give messages to my mind that is going 100 miles an hour, and my body, brain is going, and I'm not hearing. I'm not hearing. Because very clearly, you know, I kind of put aside the Old Testament with how Israel heard from God. It was prophets, false teachers, good prophets. Some were martyred, some were stoned, some were revered. But it was like, but I go to Jesus, and Jesus says in a very simple, simple parable, my sheep know my voice. He doesn't say my sheep may know my voice or my sheep could learn to hear my voice. He says I know it. Okay, so then I'm thinking sheep, you know, and I've been thinking sheep ever since I went to Sunday school up until last week. And last week I'm reading my sheep know my voice. And I'm focusing on learning because I'm trying to teach this to myself. How do I hear God? Sure. I'm trying to calm myself down, my mind, my body, and just spend, you know, just even if it's just 3 or 4 minutes with just absolute quietness, listening to what the Spirit of God inside my spirit is wanting to tell me. Practicing what I'm teaching this morning, practicing it for myself. So, and just to get myself quiet is major. If I just accomplish that and hear nothing, I will have accomplished something. Because it is difficult for us to just quiet our mind, our emotions, our body, and begin to listen. So when I was reading that, my sheep know my voice, and I thought to myself, if a sheep can hear God's voice, a sheep, at some point I have stopped being a sheep and I have become a daughter, right? Mm-hmm. God is my father. So surely I should be able quickly, easily to hear my father's voice. So then we go to, well, what does my father's voice sound like? And that's what we need to know. What does it sound like? Does it sound like accusations? Mm. You're not good enough. You're not done it well enough. I gave you this big responsibility in a big town. And, you know, what do I hear? Very accusations. Is that God speaking into my spirit? Is that what the true message is? No. See, so I have to decipher the voices. I believe that this is discernment. That God is saying, no, you need to discern what is truth, what is not, what is me speaking, what is other voices speaking, other people, what is the media speaking, what is, whether it's in books or in television or on the internet, or what you are thinking, your thoughts are. That's you speaking. So what language does God speak? And in order to make it simple, because God is so simply clear, God is speaking the language of love. Mm. So if it's not the language of love, then it's not God speaking to me. Yeah. It's other voices. So I'm learning what the language of God is. And that language of love, it's, you may say, well, it sounds like, you know, God's got to tell you, I love you, I love you.
No, it's not puppy dogs and rainbows. Yeah, it's not that.
Yeah, but it is sometimes a warning.
Yeah.
Anna Marie, don't go there.
Yeah, it's the best parent. It's the most loving parent that is thinking the best of you, but also sees danger and is making you aware of it.
And then gives us the freedom.
Yeah.
He influences us by warning us in his love. And then says, but no, if you go there, the consequences are going to hurt you.
Yeah.
So in his love, he warns us about the consequences, as he did to Adam and Eve. Yeah. And so recognizing the parental love is, it, there is warning, but there's not accusation of punishment. Yeah. You know, I'm going to punish you. No, there is pain involved in the consequences of your choice, but it's not my punishment because I hate you and I'm going to be vengeful towards you. It's my not hearing God's voice or my not wanting to listen to God's voice and not wanting to choose what God says. There were two trees. Eve very clearly, both of them chose the tree of knowledge of good and evil. They could have easily chosen the tree of life. God tried to influence them. And the accuser tried to influence them. And then when these influences came to the crisis, to the decision, then see, man had to choose. Man chose. So I pray that we choose the right thing. I pray that we choose not the right thing. I don't even want to choose things. I want to choose God. Because I think in choosing God's ways and God's thoughts and, you know, if in getting to know him intimately, then I will choose what God chooses. And then the consequences are not going to be so devastating that I am, you know, stuck in them for years and years and years. Mm-hmm. Nothing breaks my heart more is to sit with someone who's been in pain for 30 years, 25 years. 12 years. To me, if they've been paying 12 months, is too long. Because God is not... God provided everything that we need at Calvary.
For life and godliness, yeah.
You know, and the proof is that, you know, he was resurrected. So it's not that he didn't do it right, that he didn't finish it. He was raised from the dead. He was accepted by the Father. He's sitting at the right hand of God, and he tells us that that's where we are. See, if I still think that I'm a sheep lost in the pasture somewhere, so I have to follow that. Yeah, I was a sheep lost, but even a sheep who's lost hears God's voice. But I'm a daughter now. And, you know, God says, you are seated in Christ Jesus at my right hand to rule your life right here and now. This is all for now that we know that we're at the right hand of God. Because, you know, in our life in heaven, we're not going to be facing, you know, sickness and disease and accusations and all these voices screaming at us. We know in heaven we will know very clearly, but in this life we know dimly. We see in part. So learning how to live from our spirit, it is so important. So we can go to Galatians 5, where the Apostle Paul says, I say then, walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
So 5:16, okay.
5:16, and then it says, verse 18 says, but if you are led, so the first verse 16 says walk, and that word walk could be live by the spirit. Then 5:18 says, if you are led, so we need to be led by the Spirit. But if we're led by the mind, if we're led by our emotions, if we're led by our body, if we're led by things that are temporal, the things that we see, the five senses, see, well, then we're going to be enslaved. See, that if the Spirit... Because if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh, and it gives us a list of them, and then it goes up, but the fruit of the Spirit is, okay, so what is the fruit of the Spirit? The fruit of the Spirit is love. Okay, now I'm going to have to, I know now where I'm walking. I need to be walking, being led by the Spirit. The Spirit is always going to lead me into love, which will produce joy, peace, long suffering. This is the part we don't like. The long part of suffering, we don't mind short suffering. I'll take short suffering. But it's long suffering, but it's not forever. It's not, you know, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. That's why we're not under the law. Again, there is no law that regulates the fruit of the Spirit.
All of those things would just make it...
Law is pointless. It's not, does not apply. You know? So walking in love, what does that look like? Well, we can spend, you know, many, many, many more times looking at that. And we only touched a little bit of the Spirit today. So we're to live by the Spirit. We're to be led by the Spirit. The Spirit is where God lives. The Spirit is what gives us life. We are designed to live by the Spirit and not by the flesh. That is the intellect, the emotions, the body. And so, welcome to the journey of living by the Spirit.
Well, somebody's probably out there, because each time we get together, I know that there's somebody that listens to this, and their spirit has been wounded or hurt, and they need healing in the Spirit. Would you pray for that person right now, please?
Absolutely. Father, we're so thankful that you are not a silent Father. You don't give us the silent treatment. You don't walk away when we're hurting. You don't pretend not to see our frustrations and our pain. But you're so present. You live in us. Father, help us to see how very present you are. You are present everywhere, and you are in us, and you're not far away or absent. And we are your children, and it is your delight to talk to us and tell us everything that we need to know about yourself, about us, about the world that we live in, about the situation that we're facing, about the suffering and the pain that we're experiencing right now. Thank you that you speak to us, and you speak in our spirit. And you are the healer of our spirit. You're the creator of our spirit. And so, Father, I pray for those that are oppressed in spirit right now, for those that whose mind and the accuser is telling them all kinds of lies about who they are and who they're not, and about you, who you are and who you're not. And perhaps those lies are that they're alone and they're abandoned and that there is no point in trying to live this life. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit will speak very clearly to their spirit that they're loved and that they've always been loved and that they're not separated from you, that they have never been separated from you, except that the accuser says we're separated from you. Thank you, Father. Let your truth shine. Let the light of life that you came to bring shine in our hearts, in our minds, in our bodies, in our situations. Let all darkness leave, and let your pure love be resident in our lives every day. Let us be aware that you are loving us, caring for us, holding us, healing us, guiding us, that you are ever present. And we just lay and sit at your feet and enjoy the intimacy that you want us to have with you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.